Okay, welcome everyone. Just to, if anyone is here for the first time, the beginner's class is actually next door. So if this is your first day for the beginner's class, it's just next room over there. If not, you are very welcome to be here. And just as usual, a few minutes of introduction, just to kind of put you on the right track for the meditation today. One of the ways, one of the big problems, if you like, in meditation practice that almost everyone has at some point or other is the thinking mind, the mind ruminating, going here and there, having problems of all kinds, thinking about this, thinking about the future, sorting out problems, dealing with issues, whatever it is, fantasizing about things, whatever it is. The future is a big problem when it comes to the thinking mind. And one of the ways of dealing with this is something you find in the suttas in a number of places. Some of the kind of basic things that is very useful to put into place before meditation really works. And you find this in places like the Satipatthana, when the Buddha talks about Satipatthana, which is basically all about meditation practice. And one of the things that he says in there, which is very interesting here, is that the foundation for all meditation, two things, sila, which is basically virtue, kindness, all that kind of side of things, and the other thing is kind of what he calls straight view. And this idea of straight view is very interesting, because what it means is that you align your outlook, the way you look at the world, your values, you align them with the Buddhist outlook and the Buddhist values. And when your mind is, you are aligned with that, it means that you see things from almost like the Buddha's perspective, and then straight away you understand your priorities, you understand what is important in life, and then it is so easy to calm down, so easy to achieve that still kind of mind. And this is why you find that those people who have real insight into the teachings, the deeper your insight is, the deeper your understanding is, the easier it is for that person to become still and peaceful in meditation practice. So you can gauge somebody's insight by how peaceful they are. Because when you have that insight, automatically you understand things in the right way. Your mind must become peaceful as a consequence. And a way of doing this, I was talking about this a bit yesterday during the Dhamma talk here last night, and that is to remember that so much of when the things that we think about the future, when we have purposes and aims and goals in the future, to remember that all those purposes and aims and goals, whether they are fantasies, whether they are problem solving for in our family or at work or whatever it is, all of those things are never really solutions. They are like maybe a small band-aid, and then the next problem comes up afterwards. None of these things actually lead anywhere. When you think about all the purposes we had in our life, all the goals, all the aims, always moving forward, there's always more behind it. And it's almost exactly the same thing coming up afterwards. There is no final completion, final solution in that area. And when you start to look at the future like that, that there is no final solution, no final completion, you're not really going anywhere at all. Just going around to the same thing again and again and again. This is like almost like a little bit like the Buddha's view, if you like. Then you let go of that future because you realize there's nothing there that you can do, nothing there for you to think about. When you realize that the future is so purposeless in many ways, of course, there's only one place to be in that case, and that is in the present moment instead. You let go of all that. You come back to the present. So this is one way of just looking at things in accordance with the Dhamma, the way the Buddha taught these things. The future is a bit like a dream, the Buddha says. There's a dream of problem solving, dream of getting somewhere, dream of actually having a purpose. But when you get there, you realize things are very different. Another purpose arises, a new horizon behind the previous horizon. And so it goes on, ad infinitum, as they say here. So don't make it infinitum. Come instead back into the present moment. Okay, that's just a little bit of background for the meditation today. So let's now check it out and see how things work out. So, as always with your meditation practice, make sure that you take plenty of time at the beginning. Just allow to allow your body and mind just to settle down. And this really means to allow, it doesn't mean to do anything. But just by sitting back and closing our eyes, by shutting out the world and going a little bit inside of ourselves, it is possible just to allow things to calm down and become a lot more peaceful than they are already. So always start with that. Make sure your body is at ease and your mind also at ease as a consequence of that. And take time to make sure these things are well established before you do anything else. And just keep on allowing things to settle down, both in your body and also in your mind. An important aspect to enable you to do this is always to have the right attitude to the present moment. If your attitude is one of gentleness and kindness, one of softness, one of patience, then things tend to become more easy and light and feeling good about yourself and at ease. If you don't have that kind of perception, it makes it very difficult. So steer your mind towards that gentle, caring perception of the present moment, and then the meditation tends to happen all by itself. and to help you to establish that mindfulness in the here and now. Remember again the outlook of the Buddha, the outlook that the future, there is no satisfaction, no completion, no purpose, no aim, no goal in the future. The future just carries on, renewing itself endlessly, with no satisfaction inside. So leave that alone, don't worry about that. The real sense of completion can only be found in the present moment. The future is inherently unsatisfactory and unreliable. Leave it out of the equation. Come back to the now. Allow the now to be what really matters in your life. And if you find that you are able to take the future out of the equation in this way, what you find is that the doing tends to die down. When there is no future to look out for, there's no doing, nothing to be done. And when there's nothing to be done, the mind tends to be quiet, and you merge into the present moment instead. And just try to feel how delightful that feels. When mindfulness arises, the thinking dies down. There's something very peaceful and easeful and pleasant and beautiful about that. Feel that sense of wonder when the mind becomes peaceful in this way. And as you find that ease and comfort in the present moment, you feel it's natural without any kind of willpower or pushing you along. That is usually the time when you have that degree of clarity to watch the breath, or rather to turn your attention to the breath which is already there with you at that point. And then just following along the breath, you're already doing the mindfulness of breathing. Be very gentle with that. Don't force your mind in any way. Allow the breath to come and go, to disappear and then come back again. No force. Nothing is really right or wrong. The right approach is to allow things to be. And as you do the mindfulness of breathing, try to see your breath as an old friend, a friend who you care for, somebody you have compassion and metta towards. And a person, someone you have metta towards, is not someone you try to control. You allow them to come and go according to their own wishes. So the breath may disappear, and wait with metta for the breath to come back. And the more metta and kindness you have, the sooner the breath comes back again. See your breath as an old friend. Treat the breath with care and gentleness. And then you can walk on this path of meditation together in a beautiful way. Okay, so we are getting very close to the end of the meditation. Before we come to the end, I recommend you to always review what has happened over the last 45 minutes or whatever, and just try to understand the process of meditation practice. If you feel more at ease, if you feel more relaxed, if you feel more mindful and focused, if the things are coming together, ask yourself why that is the case. What are the perceptions that you have given rise to during the meditation? What are the causes that work and give these kind of results? To spend a couple of moments reflecting on that. Okay. Any questions from the hall here? Anyone have any comments want to make? No? Okay. Good. Let's go have a look at the outside external questions. Okay. So the first question is from Heather in the USA. My partner ended our relationship on a sour note last year and we don't speak anymore. What is a good way to start being more present-minded and let go of the negative feelings of the past? Okay, so I just talked a little bit about the future just before, how to kind of avoid the future. And of course the past is one of the other big bugbears and problems in meditation practice, holding on to the past. And in a sense, this is all about learning how to let go and forgive and just allow things to pass, yeah? And this idea of forgiveness and letting go is a very powerful one in Buddhism. Important thing to learn for meditation practice to work. And one of the important points here is just to learn that people are conditioned phenomena just like everything else. So when you sit down in a meditation, yeah, you don't allow other people to disturb you because you realize that the noises or whatever that are around, there's always going to be a little bit of disturbances in the environment. That's just the nature of other people, is the nature of the environment. It can't be any different. And when you think of people like that, that this is the way they have to be, actually it's quite easy to let go and just let everything be, and there's things arising, things passing away. It has to be in this way. And it's the same thing with people who are close to us in our lives. Sometimes they come, sometimes they go. Sometimes we, sometimes people die. Sometimes people do all these kind of things. And we recognize that this is just the nature of things. People have to follow their own nature, go according to their own nature. So this is, I think, the best way to remember your ex-partner, is just to, instead of thinking that it was done because he wanted to do the things this way. He wanted to kind of end the relationship and things were done out of a kind of, it becomes a personal thing. When things become a personal thing, they become very difficult to deal with. It's never personal. It's always impersonal. It's always people coming from their own causes and conditions within, acting in certain ways. So this is what I recommend. Just kind of remember, people just do what they have to do. They don't have much choice in these matters. And it's easy to say, not always easy to practice, but with commitment to this sort of thing, you will get there one day, and you will see the past, just this mirage anyway. It's nothing more to hold on to, and then you learn to let go of it. Okay, number two, Laurel in the US. No matter how hard one tries to meditate on the Eight Noble Truths. Eight Noble Truths, wow, that's interesting. Okay, you probably mean the Eightfold Path or the Four Noble Truths. It's difficult to find harmony at work when one feels bullied by others. How can one survive in spite of for the money? Okay. One of the important things in life is to have a sense of harmony around you. Without that harmony, it's actually very hard to find the peace anywhere in your meditation or anywhere else. This is one of the great things about having a community, a community that you can practice with. Even though you are in the US, you can take part in the meditation here in Australia. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So at least you have that community. And here there is usually certainly when we do the meditation together, there's always a very good feel, a good sense of companionship, a sense of meditating together, a sense of enjoying the peace together. And when you have this beautiful perception of the people around you, these are my kalyanamittas, my co-people who I practice with. When you have a sense of appreciation and gratitude to the people around you, actually, then the mind tends to become peaceful very quickly. It's a very wonderful thing to have that group feeling. So enjoy that at the very least, that you have the ability to be with a group, even though we are far away in space. In time, we are close together, and in terms of ideas and emotions, we are close together because we're doing the same kind of thing. As for people outside, and this is the problem of the world, is that there's always going to be difficulties, there's always going to be difficult people. This is, again, the nature of things. So you have to try to negotiate this in the wisest possible way. And again, if you are smart about this, it's actually not that hard to deal with. Remember that people, again, they do things according to the inner cause and conditions or outer things, according almost like robots, almost like running on a program. This is what we are. It doesn't feel like that because of the sense of self, but the reality is that this is how it usually is. So you look at people in this way. They don't have much choice. They have to be that way. And when you see that people who do bad things, they do it because they don't have any choice. They probably don't even want to do it. Then you can have compassion instead, because you know that they are actually destroying much more for themselves than they're destroying for you. So this is one way of dealing with difficult people. In the end, if it gets too difficult, if it is a job situation, I don't know whether you have any other alternatives for employment, but if you do, sometimes it's probably best just to shift the job if there is a particular personality clash or something that is particularly worrying. But remember, you can often learn a lot about the spiritual path by trying to resolve the problem that you have rather than actually just moving away. If you resolve it by the way you perceive things and by the way you look at things, you grow spiritually. If you just try to get away from it, then you're running away, which sometimes that's okay, but it's preferable to try to resolve it through a change of perception. And then, hopefully, even if there is no external harmony, you can have a degree of inner harmony. And then you can come every Saturday, to be a guest visitor from the US here in Western Australia, take part in our meditation. And what a wonderful thing that is, that we have this service, international service. Okay, good luck, and to everyone here as well. And let's just pay homage to Buddha Dhamma Sangha.